You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Transmitted by wire.
Here is the latest news brought into your own living room.
You'll be hard to satisfy with anything less.
Let's give us something to talk about.
Talk is cheap.
Gib, gib, gib. Who is gossiping?
It's the John and Gordy Show.
This is Hi-Fi Plus.
And that's the way it is.
We'll do it live.
On 92.7 FM WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll pass the baton. Thank you.
Good morning. It is 7:06. We've got some scattered light rain showers working their way through Madison. State Street looking kind of wet from our vantage point here downtown, block off the Capitol.
The WMDX Doppler radar is indicating a few clouds moving our way.
So. Yes. It's 49 degrees, highs in the mid to upper 50s today.
Just made that up.
Okay. Tomorrow night is the night market. We will be in attendance there with our booth right across the street from our station here. And right in front of the Overture Center at Night Market, last one of the season. The theme, at least we're going with the theme of dressing up in weird costumes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Is that the idea?
Okay. That is. Gordy, what are you going to wear?
I have no idea. I've just moved, so everything's in boxes. I can't find.
He's got an excuse.
Yeah, right. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
go as the unknown comic.
You can put a bag over my head.
Put a bag over your head. That'd be fine.
That'd be good with me. You're dressed up as Bucky Badger. Is that your plan?
Yeah, the Bucky Badger onesie. Man, I'm trying not to say it out loud so many times, but I guess, yeah.
Okay. And John, what's your deal?
I don't know.
Going to dress as Spider-Man
again? We're still arguing
again
about the No Kings protest.
Oh, that's on Saturday.
Turning up as the Avengers. I don't know. I just don't know.
Well, anyway, join us for the Madison Night Market tomorrow evening from 5 until 9.
All right. Yeah. This is kind of late-breaking news. I haven't really edited this thing up, but I just thought I'd pass it along. This is the Chicago Sun-Times. They're reporting on this at the request. Mm. Okay, let's just go back a little bit here. Remembering COVID and all the rumors about taking this drug and that drug and trying this and that and the administration. Remember? Do you remember?
Yes. Going back in time.
and the administration at the time, Biden, said, hey, you know, we really have to stop all of this. Could you please, he talked to social media, could you just please, you know, tamp down all of this because we don't need this misinformation going out there.
Right.
These are lies, misinformation. Please tamp this down. And then he did. They took a lot of it off. Then when Trump came into office, everything just opened up. The billionaires fell in line with Trump, and they said, we're getting rid of the censorship. No more of the censorship. We're going to go full bore.
Sure.
You can post whatever the hell you want. You
right.
bet.
Anything.
You guys are open. All right. So here we go. At the request of the Department of Justice, a Facebook group used by nearly 80,000 people in Chicago to report sightings of federal immigration agents in the area has been taken down by Meta, Zuckerberg, Facebook parent company. Yeah, the group called ICE Sighting Chicagoland has been increasingly used over the last few weeks of Operation Midway Blitz.
Mm-hmm.
But the Trump administration has claimed that its agents, nearly all of them who wear face coverings, don't wear badges, and at times vehicles without license plates, are under attack somehow?
Mm.
They're being doxxed? This is according to Pam Bondi. Who believes her?
Okay.
The AG. Okay, here this is what she said. Today, following outreach from the Department of Justice, Facebook removed a large group page that was being used to dox and target ICE agents in Chicago. Mm. Don't think so. We don't know who they are. They don't have identification.
Yeah. Well,
anyway, so
they took that Facebook page
so they
down.
Took it down by the request of the administration, which, by the way, during the Biden administration was a huge issue. They were censoring the right wing. They were censoring people. They couldn't do it anymore. And Zuckerberg said, yeah, let's go full bore. Put whatever you want out there. And now they're censoring a Facebook site that is just, I guess, reporting where the agents are. That's all. They're not doxing anybody.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So so interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a different story. You know, they do live under a different set of rules than everybody else, this administration, and especially when you're a dictatorship and a fascist government.
We got a text here, John, from Martin in Verona. Mm-hmm. He says, imagine the mixed feelings of these ICE thugs' parents. Talking about ICE agents' parents.
Yeah.
The shame of raising a hateful man baby with nothing of value to offer this world, and the relief of having them have a job that gets them out of the basement. So mixed feelings. Now, about CJ, he has tunnel vision because he views the world through his navel. It's the only way he can see out of his head shoved so far up his keister. That's Martin of Verona.
All right, Martin.
Thank you for that comment. You can text us on the Civic Media app or call us 608-879-8255.
You would think that there would be a little bit more criticism from even MAGAs, right?
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, we're looking at this administration censoring a group, another group, just doing something legal. They can do this. They're making observations. They're just giving people a heads up. People can go to the site. They don't have to go to the site. It's just out there. They're not lying. They're not telling lies. They're not doxing anybody. They're not doing anything because how do you know who these people are?
Mm-hmm.
So when no one believes this administration anymore at all, I mean,
right.
Judges are making decisions based on the fact that they can't believe what they're being told in court.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening. Now let's go to the phone lines again. We've got Charles. Charles, what do you got for us today?
Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, guys. You know, I am sitting here crying. I am so upset that our conservative caller from Stone didn't mention that, you know, our president is giving Argentina $20 billion.
No, and that story blew up yesterday. Wow.
Yes.
Yep. I am so sad that our Stone friend who's always talking about the budget and the money that we're going to our kids are going to have to pay back.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't seem to have a problem with our country giving Argentina $20 billion.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
where is that outrage at?
Yeah, good and point. it really reaches into a rural country that they voted for Trump and now Trump has completely betrayed them. Argentina, of course, supplying soybeans now to China.
Yeah.
Completely wiping out any sales of soybeans to China from our country.
Yeah, soybean farmers are suffering here.
Right. And then now because of the trade wars, we're going to use tariff money to pay the farmers again. And by the way, that's my money, too.
Yeah.
And I support the farmers.
Mm.
But I don't want to see this happen. They don't want to see it happen. They've just lost a market partner.
Right.
I mean, they've been, these are relationships built up over years, decades, and they just lost it to another country that we're giving billions of dollars to, and we're keeping people from getting health care in this country because the budget is so tight. I don't think it is.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff.
Back to the phones we go. Dick is on the line. Good morning, Dick. Go ahead.
Yeah, and $45 billion for ICE. I mean, another wonderful thing, don't you think, guys, is now we're not going to get any news from the Pentagon. The networks are all being shut off. I mean, there's nothing going on there anyway, right?
Right, right.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, except for keeping track of the fat and heavy set military.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, right. Yeah. But, yeah, that's a wonderful thing to hear, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's just unbelievable that they could actually go around. I mean, after all the complaining they did about being censored, they go out and they censor people on Facebook. I'm beside myself. Okay. You know, I'm kind of burying the big story that I had this afternoon, or this morning, rather. Here, this is about Obamacare. Now, a lot of stuff is going on behind the scenes, and Speaker Mike Johnson refuses to negotiate any of the items that the Democrats are demanding, especially approving the tax credits for the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But there is actually something going on behind the scenes, and there's a menu of options they're starting to come up with, a compromise that it might actually take place.
Really?
Yes.
What?
On the Affordable Care Act tax credits, you're believe this me. Or not. No. Now, this is the bad news. There are people on the right that don't get it yet. They don't actually understand Obamacare. They really never paid for it. They never investigated. They never signed up for it, so they don't know what's involved. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, who's never quite gotten ACA, said about 90% of members of our conference, they feel strongly that Obamacare itself and the subsidies have failed. Well, as a person who has been on Obamacare, yes, and whose family is still on Obamacare, you're wrong, completely wrong. It makes it affordable with the tax credits. And we do have health care now, and it covers pre-existing conditions. So you're absolutely wrong. It hasn't failed at all. All right. Now, here are some of the MAGA solutions, except for one. Okay. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene. This is cut 131. We're not going to consider this one. Okay. This is her point of view on the tax credits.
Okay. Let's take health insurance for example. I'm a conservative, and I can say we're $37 trillion in debt. We cannot afford a socialized healthcare plan in America. We literally cannot. But at the same time, I can say we sent almost $300 billion to Ukraine. We sent $30 billion to Israel in 2024 alone. I can say we definitely should extend these ACA tax credits, and we need to build an off-ramp because it'll cost $30 billion a year to do it. We can build an off-ramp and open up a new system that
you're
will serve
about the
every American.
Care Act.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's not going to be an off-ramp. you guys don't. You don't have another plan. No.
Yeah. What's the plan?
There is no.
Don't have a plan.
There is no plan. And when you think about it, because of these tax credits and the added tax credits because of the COVID problem we had, all of that is a tremendous amount of money, and that money increases as the premiums increase on the Affordable Care Act, and we're paying a lot of taxpayer money into this system. Why not just go with universal health care?
Yes.
And stop dinking around with this thing? All right. Well, anyway, here are some of the other options and parts of the solutions to this. A one-year extension, okay, put it off for another year. That's one of the possibilities.
Okay.
MAGA is open to imposing new income caps, similar to the current credit caps, which is about $200,000.
Okay.
Cutting off enhanced tax credits for new enrollees. So you're grandfathered in. That's not fair. That's not good. And how about this? Mandate a minimum out-of-pocket payment to unlock eligibility. All right? But that doesn't make any sense either. Why would you do that? Yeah. And in just a moment, I'm going to tell you why there's a crazy group out there called Paragon Health Institute. You know, they've got their little institute guys running around, and it's a small group, but they're influencing the entire Congress when it comes to these tax credits.
The Paragon Health Institute.
Yeah.
That's a weird name.
I know,
okay.
Stupid name. All right, we'll be getting to their point of view and what they're doing to our healthcare system in just a moment.
Mm-hmm. And coming up in about 15 minutes, Mike McCabe will join us because it's Wednesday and because he's a Substack blogger with a new blog. He'll be telling us about that. A little bit about education this time around.
Yeah, actually.
It's all coming up on John and Gordy on WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome to the Age of Stupid. Stupid. Welcome to the Age of Stupid.
Oh. We've got a story here that will actually point a finger right at how stupid some of these right-wing groups are. Mm. I mean, this is just really unbelievable. WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning. Mm-hmm. Dom at the controls, and feel free to text us, voice notice, and also give us a jingle on the phone.
608-879-8255.
Okay. All right. This is utterly stupid. This small conservative think tank called Paragon Health Institute, which has a lot of influence in the Congress at this point, is outraged over millions of phantom enrollees. I am not kidding you. They are warning Congress that there are phantom enrollees in the ACA, individuals who don't know they've enrolled in a health plan on the Affordable Care Act in the marketplace. These are enrollees who've been tricked. They are enrolled and they don't know it.
Huh.
These are called phantom enrollees by this Paragon Health Institute, okay?
All right.
Well, you got to say, what do they mean by phantom enrollees?
Yes.
Well, this is how they think of it. It's where people are on health plans but don't file any medical claims.
Okay.
It truly is the age of stupid, is it not? So because you don't have a health event,
you
don't need to go to the doctor,
right?
You are now considered a phantom on the ACA in the marketplace.
According to this group.
My head is starting to hurt at this point. Now you know why I curl up in the fetal position.
Would you like some Tylenol?
In the middle of the day.
That sounds like a lot of confusion and delay.
There you go.
Yes, there is this Sir Topham hat. Mm-hmm. So if you don't need health care, you don't take advantage of it. And this is the same argument I had with Medicaid, you know, putting people on Medicaid. Unless they're worried, they got to work, or else, you know, they're going to take advantage of Medicaid. But they're not going to take advantage of Medicaid if they don't need it. It's not like, it's not like a paycheck. They don't get a paycheck every month. It's not taxpayer money going to them, right?
Right.
I mean, this is just absolutely mind-numbingly stupid. And get this, on top of that, Paragon commissioned a poll showing a majority of voters want the subsidies to expire. Wow. Well, that's in conflict with a September 2025 poll by the nonpartisan Kaiser Health Foundation that came up with 78% of the public wants to extend the enhanced tax credits. So according to the Paragon Institute, no one wants it extended. According to the Kaiser Health Foundation, which I think I would believe first, 78% of the public. And, you know, I mean, there is no percentage below 50%. Conservatives, middle-of-the-road people, undecided, they all want to extend the tax credits. And finally, a House Republican aide described the Paragon Health Institute as a conservative brainiac guise in this conservative health institute. Conservative brainiac guise. So let me remind you, if you're unfamiliar with brainiac, he is a super villain in the DC comics. So, okay, maybe I'll go along with that comparison. Let's go to Joe. Joe's on the line right now.
Good morning, Joe. Go ahead.
Wow. Well, this is another escapade in stupid. It's kind of amazing. I think, you know, you put Paragon and then you put Institute. And I think you guys should go for an Institute. I think you should have the John and Gordy Institute.
Oh, yeah.
I think you need a little cut line, maybe like here for you while others are sleeping. But when you talked about Brainiac, maybe you could be kind of like Brainiac, but not evil.
Yeah.
You could do something like that. You could just work it. And I just, you know, the reason why I'm calling, I don't know if you can top that story that you just had, but I am so, the lying is so intense. The lying is so, it's like a fire hose of lies.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend who just said, you know, that two questions to ask are, what's your evidence and have you looked at a timeline? And what's your evidence could take care of like 99%, maybe that's a lie, of Trump's claims, like your child will go into the school and come out transgendered in one day. Okay, right.
Or protesters are paid to go protest.
Yeah.
Sure. And I never got a check.
I never did either.
I never get a check.
Nope.
And I guess the other question, so what's your evidence? And the other one was, look at a timeline. And there was a wonderful one this week from the fail son, Eric Trump, who's written a book. And apparently it's a book that never went through an editor or a fact checker, because he claims that Jack Smith planted classified documents prior to the raid, FBI raid that took place on August 8th at Mar-a-Lago. This, in order for this to have happened, wow. Jack Smith would have had to warp the time-space continuum, because he was not assigned to that case at that point. It wasn't until 3 months later, and in fact, Jack Smith was in Europe, you know, working another job, and so this notion that he would be there, and he said, well, he's planting the manila folders. You could see Jack Smith. What the? So I guess, you know, I really hope that you're the John and Gordy Institute, you know, here for you while others are sleeping. Maybe yes. There's something you guys can do to keep pushing on this fire hose of lies that we have.
We're definitely going to spitball at it.
Great idea, Joe. Thank you so much.
Great stuff,
yeah,
Joe.
We got to workshop that a little bit, but yeah, that's pretty much a go on that.
I think so, yeah. I mean, we could add it to our Antifa after school program.
Yes. We got a lot to work on here.
I know, man.
Never ends. Okay, 29 past right. the hour, and we've got the Midwest Food and Farm Report, and then Mike McCabe will join us. He's got a new Substack article kind of about the history of education in the United States.
But, you know, training for one thing.
Yes.
You know, all these classes are training people for certain occupations, yep. and then they just disappear because yes. of technology.
Right. It's all coming up on John and Gordy, WMDX.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world.
It's killing us all. I hope we survive this. You know, we got 3.5 more years. This is John and Gordy in the morning as I contemplate this. We've got our special guest each and every Wednesday morning. It is Mike McCabe, our Substack author and commentator, and the guy who looks at things in a very positive way, who's going to lift us all up this morning.
It's all on you, Mike. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Yeah.
No pressure.
No.
It's kind of a rainy day around Madison, 49 degrees currently. More showers headed our way this morning. Should clear out this afternoon, high around 57. So, Mike...
What do you think of our weather window, by the way? You can look out the weather window and actually see the weather the way it really is. I mean, it's a fantastic device that we have put together.
It's a window.
Rain's already letting up. I can tell you that. Having just walked over here.
Yeah. So anyway, yes, you've got an interesting Substack. This is kind of a busted pencils version of your visit today, and you're talking about education and how things quickly change in the environment that we have right now with AI and everything else that's taking place, and how high schools are trying to adjust to that, but maybe not in the right way. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, our school system has gone from one fad to another to another to another over the last, you know, generation or so, and probably goes back longer than that. You mentioned busted pencils, Tim Slecker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He can give you the history better than I can, but you know, I used to work in public education for a period of time, and I saw fads come and go then, but then the big one, of course, was the school to work push. Yeah. You know, let's not just, you know, you do a standard education, but let's actually use the school system kind of as vocational training, just preparing people for the workplace. And that failed pretty miserably. The fad didn't last long, and it wasn't particularly effective.
Well, you know, it was based on the Republicans really wanted to push this thing that not everybody needs a college education. Right. In fact, they pushed it to the point where no one needed a college education.
Right, and we don't need colleges.
Yeah.
But then, of course, then the next revolution was STEM, which stands for an emphasis on science, technology, engineering, and math. Mm-hmm. We don't need social studies. We don't need civics. We don't need a broad liberal arts education. We just need to focus on those areas that will prepare people for their profession, for their work life. Problem is, our economy is changing so rapidly that if you focus on training for something today, mm-hmm. that work will be obsolete tomorrow. And then you're going to have to retrain. And then when you retrain for that, that will then be obsolete in short order. And now as we enter the age of the dawning of artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. and companies are using AI tools to even do away with the computer scientists. Now, you know, I said in the column, there is nothing more STEM than computer science. That that was at the very heart of the STEM revolution. And so all of these young people were sort of funneled into computer science.
Right.
Because there needed to be the software developers and the hardware engineers, sure. and, you know, the coders.
The animators.
We needed all these people in computer science. But now AI tools are replacing all of that. Hmm. And you've seen all of the high-tech jobs, that market has cratered. Silicon Valley, that market has cratered. Mm-hmm. And you've seen tens of thousands of layoffs year after year after year. And those people who trained for that need that big tech had and no longer has because they're using AI instead to replace all that human labor, those people have been left high and dry. They're just out of luck. And so what all of this screams is for the need for genuine liberal arts education, where you teach people not a particular skill that companies need today, but you teach them to think. You teach them how the world works, how people tick. You teach them to think analytically and strategically and creatively. And that ability, those are the abilities that will allow people to adapt to an ever-changing world and an ever-changing economy. That's what you really need education to do, is prepare us to be adaptive, to be able to adjust to changing times. That's what the classic liberal arts education does do for you. And we've moved so far away from what we used to have in our education system. And it's not preparing people for the future. It's preparing people for today's economic needs, but it's not preparing people to be citizens in a democracy. It's not preparing people to more fully participate in society. And it's not even preparing people for the jobs of tomorrow in our economy, because those haven't been invented yet.
Now, does that rely heavily on people being more creative about what kind of occupation they may want to get into, or maybe more creative in getting into something they find more interesting and creating a certain avenue on their own, of their own? Is that not everybody has this creative ability to be a critical thinker. Not everybody has the creative ability to imagine something completely different and go in that direction.
Well, what
happens?
We don't even know really how much capacity young people have for creativity for adaptability, because we don't teach for that anymore. Here's the professional need that businesses have today. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to train you up for. This is what we're going to focus on, and then you're going to be funneled into these jobs. But then those jobs disappear in short order. And the companies, then they accuse the schools of not being able to adjust enough to changing times.
That's right.
And they accuse the educators, but they don't take any responsibility for the fact that they've chosen to technologize those jobs out of existence. And they don't care about what happens to the worker that is displaced, that is put out of work. And, you know, when you think about it, when you think about all the CEOs, all the people who are leading companies, all the people who are entrepreneurs and who are creating new businesses, a lot of them are history majors or philosophy majors or political science majors. Mm. They have classic liberal arts educations themselves,
yeah,
which have permitted them to think analytically and strategically and creatively. And that's made them successful. But you know, it's interesting. They don't want that for their kids and grandkids. Mm. Or somebody else's kids and grandkids.
Well,
they don't want that. They want worker bees who they can plug into the jobs that they have available today. And those jobs are vanishing tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's the economy we live in.
Yeah. So we're talking with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author. So do things have to get really, really bad before they get better now? I mean, is that where we're at? The AI is just taking over. And the die is cast. And
well, what's interesting is that the American public is deeply wary of AI.
Yes.
The citizenry doesn't want it. The average person is afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to go so far as to say that AI should be shut down. AI has some applications that it can do amazing things. I'll grant you that. But to me, we should be using AI to perform tasks that human beings don't want to perform. I want AI to do the dishes for me or do the laundry. I don't want it to write books. I don't want it to take over the space that should be reserved for human creativity.
Right.
I don't want it to produce music. I don't want it to produce art.
Well, John and Gordy want to apologize for using AI to create our
some music jingles. We
go
made
back to yeah.
What?
What's the book that we came up with?
Age of Cursive.
Going. Let's go back to cursive.
Which that's was one book that AI helped us create.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
So we apologize.
Yeah, I don't even feel the need to go back to cursive because I was never any damn good at it anyway. I never could write cursive to save my life. But
my printing, by the way, is starting to look like cursive.
But what I do want is for human creativity not to be snuffed out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can have AI write a novel for you. You can actually ask AI to write a novel from a famous author's voice, and it will do that. But that is what human beings need to reserve for themselves. They can't farm that out to machines, not unless we are willing to pay an immense price in terms of the loss of humanity that will occur in our society if we do that.
As creative as let's go back to cursive, the book is that we put out. I always feel a little guilty that it might have borrowed from other stories.
Well,
examples.
That's all he knows.
That's all that AI can do is borrow from things that it grabs off the internet. So that's why it can write a book like it can write a Stephen King novel because it simply goes out and
borrows everything King wrote.
Exactly. Borrows a bunch of Stephen King writing and mimics it.
Yeah.
That's all AI can do. But what that loses is the magic of the human imagination. If we're willing to surrender that to machines, we're cooked.
Yeah.
We're in deep trouble then. And to me, all of this screams for that return to the classic liberal arts education that prepares people to both understand the world we live in and understand how people tick by studying history, by studying language, by studying human behavior, by learning the scientific method. All of that prepares us to operate in society, but it also nurtures and cultivates the human imagination. And that's what we need now more than ever. is imagination. Yeah. We have to imagine our way out of this mess that we've gotten ourselves into as a society.
Well, as I mentioned off the air before we went on, people are getting retrained about 17 times.
Isn't that something?
Currently, yes. And that's definitely going to increase. Now, John and Gordy, we're going to have to go back to writing another book. I just got an idea.
Oh, really?
And we'll get to that in just a few moments. But I do want to mention that.
A lot
of the starter jobs are being phased out by AI.
Right.
So the executives and the people who are part of these corporations now don't have people going up the ladder.
Right.
There's no entry level anymore.
Right. Yeah.
All right, we'll continue our discussion and our conversation with Mike McCabe in just a moment. It is 7:48. John and Gordy on WMDX.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Domo. Domo. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Domo. Domo. Domo arigato. Mr. Roboto, domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, domo arigato.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX, John and Gordy, 92.7 on a rainy, rainy morning. Showers are coming down right now.
Yeah, it's picked up a little bit.
Yeah,
a high today about 57. Right now, 49 degrees. Tomorrow on the show, we'll have Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils, also Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney at law. Right now, we're wrapping up here with Mike McCabe. And we're talking about AI taking over, and, you know, it occurs to me that AI, who controls AI? I mean, is it the Mark Zuckerbergs, the Jeff Bezos, the Elon Musks, all these powerful, very rich, super rich people have the president's ear and this administration's ear, and they're just letting AI take it, you know.
Run rampant.
Run with it.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. They didn't invent it, but they claimed ownership of it, and now they're profiting from it, and it's turning billionaires soon into trillionaires.
Yes,
but it's something that they don't want any restrictions placed on it. They don't want it used in the public interest in any way.
Right,
and we've talked about this before. Yeah. Every time we had major innovations in the area of human communication or human knowledge acquisition. We've treated it as a public commodity.
Yes.
You know, and we required it to be used in the public interest. That's not being done with AI at all, because they just want to, the billionaires want to become trillionaires, but it leaves a whole lot of people vulnerable to being rendered irrelevant. So people train for the hot job. They go into the hot profession today.
Mm-hmm.
But then business and industry is rapidly figuring out how to replace that human labor with technology. That's tomorrow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that makes them even more profitable, because they don't have any cost of labor.
Well, off the air, you were talking about your son going into journalism.
Yeah.
And how he was concerned about that a little bit, because he was hearing, you know, you really ought to go to something that's
science-y,
more
science,
technology,
because engineering.
Because what he wanted to go into is a very tough job, and it was losing people, and, you know.
And he had a passion for it.
But he had a passion for it.
He had a passion for it.
Yeah.
And I just told, you got to tune these people out.
Yeah.
Because they're telling you to go into what's considered the hot profession today. But I'll tell you, even if the news business doesn't end up being your cup of tea, you're going to have skills. You're going to be able to think. You're going to be able to research. You're going to be able to communicate. You're going to be able to write. And when you can do those things, you've got skills that'll make you employable. And you'll be able to adapt. You'll be able to adjust. And so, he went into the humanities. He went into that area that has been kind of ruled irrelevant in our society. But the odd thing is that what he found when once he got out of college is that there's an acute shortage of TV news producers. So he got immediately right out of college. He got a job in Portland, Oregon, in a big TV market. Then he decided he wanted to move to Twin Cities and had two job offers in the Twin Cities to do TV news producing. And so he's gainfully employed. He's doing fine, and he's doing something that he's passionate about. I want to see that kind of story made possible for more kids.
Well, Gordy and I, when we were coming up in the broadcast industry, we had to create rumors about other radio announcers in order to
so we would have
sully their names and take their place,
take their jobs.
So. And here you are, all these years later, gainfully employed.
Yes.
Sort of.
Well, that's sort of is key word there. Yeah. What's your son's name and address up there? We may have to send some resumes out. So maybe you put in a good word for it.
Yeah. We were talking about your Substack article about getting trained and retrained and all that kind of stuff. Your response was from Ralph Knutson, and he said, a population without understanding is and feels vulnerable and easily frightened by change and has few skills to adapt. And I think that puts everybody on edge.
Yep. And everybody is on edge now.
And what we're talking about right now may cause people to be on edge. Oh, my gosh, what occupations do we get into? Because we're not giving people tips right now about this is where you should go. But you're saying that if you're not in college, if you can't get into something that can train you currently, it puts a lot of people on that bubble where they're worried about their future, they're worried about life, where it's going. That's I think the tension that public feels right now.
That classic liberal arts education, which can start even before high school.
Mm-hmm.
That focuses on helping us understand the world we live in and understand what makes humans tick and understanding human behavior, all of that, and that stokes imagination and creativity, that will take that anxiety away. That helps take the edge off because you have an idea of where the world is headed.
Yeah.
And when you have an idea of where the world is headed, you can develop a strategy for how to carve out a meaningful role for yourself. But man, if you just train for the job business and industry wants you to train for today, and then they say, okay, we don't need you anymore because we've got technology that can do it for us, then those people are on edge, and rightfully so, because they're vulnerable.
Just got a minute or so left here. Got a text here from Susan in McFarland. Says, good morning, gentlemen. You always bring a few laughs in the morning. Thank you for that. Speaking of AI, I think of the movie Wall-E. Remember the movie Wall-E?
Yeah.
And which portrayed people as lazy. I've always thought we've been headed that way as people want to drive through a restaurant.
Be on their phones.
Be on their phones and don't enjoy the conversation of others. And that's kind of where we're at.
Says, also, I mean, good to hear you, Mike.
Yes. It is good to hear you, Mike.
It's what Frank Herbert posited in Dune, thou shalt not build a machine to counterfeit the human mind.
Yeah. Amen to that.
We're down to about a minute. Mike, do you have any appearances coming up? Anything you want to mention at this time?
I don't at this very moment.
Okay.
I had a flurry of them just recently.
You did?
Yeah.
But you've got your Substack blog that people can check out.
Yeah, mikemccabe.substack.com if anybody's curious.
And an excellent book, Miracles Along County Q. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Always love your posts, Mike. Yeah. Mark, I'm just going nuts here. I'm
looking at whoever you are.
Mark sent us that too. He's always sending stuff.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, it was a great conversation.
Yes. Stephanie Miller is coming up next tomorrow on our show. Tim Slecker, Jim Santel, and hope you join us then. Have a great day. So long.
Take care, everybody.
As we were saying.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.